From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled A Sure Guide. The text is Isaiah 42, verse 16. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Think of the infinitely glorious Jehovah acting as a guide to the blind. What boundless condescension does this imply? A blind man cannot find a way which he does not know. Even when he knows the road, it is hard for him to traverse it. But a road which he has not known is quite out of the question for his unguided feet. Now we are by nature blind as to the way of salvation, and yet the Lord leads us into it, and brings us to himself, and then opens our eyes. As to the future, we are all of us blind, and cannot see an hour before us. But the Lord Jesus will lead us even to our journey's end. Blessed be His name. We cannot guess in which way deliverance can possibly come to us, but the Lord knows, and He will lead us till we shall have escaped every danger. Happy are those who place their hand in that of the great guide, and leave their way and themselves entirely with Him. He will bring them all the way, and when He has brought them home to glory, and has opened their eyes to see the way by which He has led them, what a song of gratitude will they sing unto their great benefactor! Lord, lead thy poor blind child this day, for I know not my way.
Tears unending flow when my
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. Paul's thesis for Romans is found in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 1, where he writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Here is the message which alone can save sinners. This is the truth that Martin Luther discovered as he sought relief from the guilt of his conscience and his sin. This is the truth that ignited the Protestant Reformation and brought medieval Europe out of darkness of superstition into the light of Christ's redemption. The heart of the gospel is justification by faith alone through faith in Christ alone. Sadly, it is a message heard all too seldom today, even in Bible-believing churches. Now Dr. Cairns will introduce a message called The Peculiar Power of the Gospel.
We resume our studies in the book of Romans. And so let's attend to it, starting again at verse 1 of chapter 1 and reading through to the end of verse 17. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading of his word for his own name's sake. In the studies that we have already had, in the opening section, the introductory section of this book, I've emphasized that Paul's great statement of theme is given to us in verses 16 and 17. This is like a preacher announcing his subject. This is the thesis that Paul intends to prove throughout the rest of this book. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now he enters this as his reason. Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. Because therein, or in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is Paul's thesis, or Paul's theme. And I have tried in our initial studies to show how every verse in the introductory section is a step that leads the apostle from his initial greeting right through to this wonderful statement. Now, what I plan to do at this point is to return to verses 16 and 17 and to discuss the theme in some detail, paying attention to the terms that Paul uses and how he uses them. You will find that this is, as many expositors and commentators have claimed, in many ways, the most important text in Scripture. This is a gigantic text. It is one that would repay us coming back to it almost word by word, again and again. But then the 20-odd years that Tim estimated it was going to take me to finish this book of Romans would become more like 50 years if we dealt with it like that. And I don't think even Tim will be around that far from now, so we'd better not do that. But having said that, it is a great text, and I want us to think about it. Then before having done that, before getting into the exposition of the book and going on to chapter 1, verse 18, what I want to do is to refer you to the outline that I gave you at the beginning of these studies. And I'm going to try and set forth in general terms the powerful arguments that Paul is employing. In other words, what I want us to do is to understand his thesis. Then we want to take an overview of how he deals with it. It's always fascinating when you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, just to see how he sets up his subject. It's something that is good for a preacher. If ever you want to see logic on fire, logic ablaze with the power of God and the passion of the love of Christ, you read the Apostle Paul. And here you will see, as we look into this book, that he employs powerful arguments as he establishes and applies his theme. So what we want to do is tonight to look at the theme, and then, as the Lord wills, for another Sabbath day, or possibly two, or possibly three, I don't know, to look at the scheme, the theme, and then the scheme. And when we have done that, we should be in a position, I think, to have such a grasp of what this great book is all about, that we can study the details without being bogged down in them, or overwhelmed by them, or feeling that we have got lost among the details. That's always very possible when you're dealing with a huge book and a long series of studies. It is very possible to get so bogged down in the details that you can't relate the detail that you're studying to the great central theme or message of the book. Now tonight we're turning to the thematic statement in verses 16 and 17. Remember how I gave you this right at the very beginning. This text of Scripture is saying that the revelation that God has provided a perfect righteousness in Christ for guilty sinners, on the ground of which they are justified by faith without any works of their own, any merit of their own, is a glorious and a powerful message for the whole world. Now that, in a nutshell, is what Paul is saying here. Tonight I want us to look particularly at how he frames this great thesis. I want us to look at how he expresses it. Here he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? And here we have the answer. For, with the meaning of because, it is the power of God unto salvation to every believer, whether Jew or Greek. Because in it a righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Notice what he is arguing here. He's arguing the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every believer, whether Jew or Greek. Because in this gospel, and I use the indefinite advisedly, there is no definite article in the Greek text, a righteousness of God. That is a righteousness that God has provided. A righteousness of God. One that is received entirely by faith, without works, is revealed. Just as Habakkuk stated prophetically, the one who is righteous or justified by faith shall live. Now think of that. What it is saying is simply this, that the revelation of justification by faith alone is what gives the gospel of Christ its peculiar power. Now that is an easy thing for me to say. But when you just stop and think for a moment, how long have you been attending church? How many churches have you attended? How many hundreds of preachers have you listened to? And then ask yourself, how often have I ever in church expound and apply the gospel of justification by faith alone in Christ alone? Sadly, in Protestantism today, we have got away from the preaching of this great truth. Our churches are culpably silent or almost silent on it. And where they do speak on it, more often than not, they enunciate the theology of the Council of Trent and not the doctrine of the Apostle Paul. So obviously it is not commonly believed that it is the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ's merits alone that gives the gospel its peculiar power. People have all sorts of notions as to what imparts power to their gospel preaching. From the color of the carpet to the type of singing and music to the kind of illustrations the preacher is able to drum up, all these are thought to be the secret of power. We have got to have a user-friendly gospel. We have got to have a PR man in the pulpit. And the old-fashioned idea of a prophet sent from God with a message from God that deals with these ironclad truths of the central theme of the gospel, that's altogether out of vogue. But I want to tell you, my friend, it's true nonetheless. The gospel has its peculiar power from this central truth of justification by faith. As Paul states it here in Romans, and especially in this great statement of theme in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. As we look at these verses, I want us to remark first and foremost that the gospel is a divine revelation. Underlying the word revealed, therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. This is a divine revelation. The gospel is not a human philosophy. The gospel is not a human system of theology. The gospel is not a theory. The gospel is not even a discovery. The gospel is a divine revelation. When we read that it is revealed, we are informed that this is something, a subject upon which the mind of man has no information whatsoever apart from what God gives directly by revelation. Here is something miraculous. Here is something entirely divine in its content. The mind of man could never arrive at it. There is no way in the study of any of the disciplines that the human mind could ever arrive at the doctrine of a free justification on the merits of Jesus Christ received by faith without works. That is a matter of divine revelation. Not only is it a matter of divine revelation, but it is a revelation that's given to us in Scripture. Notice that immediately after referring to this fact of revelation, the apostle says, as it is written. In other words, he says, this is a matter of revelation. Now, where are you going to find the revelation? That's a very, very big question. Very important question. People come up with all sorts of answers. And he does not direct them to the unwritten traditions, though they were abundant. He directs them to the written word of God. As it is written, and he's quoting from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. It is written. So as a proof of revelation, the apostle refers us to the Bible, to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.